I came from a family in which my mom was Catholic and my dad was Protestant. And I remember at a very young age, the few times that I would go to Mass with my mom. We go to a large cathedral in Altoona, Pennsylvania, and it was ornate and it was gorgeous. And I was very moved by the holiness of the whole service. Everything was done in reverence to God. The robes, the incense, the procession with the cross leading the way the Bible was handled, even kissed as a sacred document, and most of all, the manner in which communion was given, as if the wine and the bread was the actual blood and body of Christ. The stone pillars, the golden collection plates, the ornate altar, the carved cross, the stained glass windows of the saints, telling the story of all the saints who walked, or disciples that walked with Christ. And the whole service was complete with choir and chanting, and seemed somewhat overwhelming to a young kid, because I was probably 4 or 5 years old at the time. I had this feeling that God was present, looking down at me, and knowing every sin I had committed that week. Does that sound familiar, Ernie? And the congregation at that time, I won't tell too much about my age, the congregation was in suits and ties, and women wore their best dresses, complete with bonnets. Anybody here remember Easter bonnets? Show your age. And strong men coming through those doors and genuflexing or getting down on their knees and crossing themselves and entering the pews. And back then in the 50s, World War II was over and men were back from the war and their God became real and awesome to many of them. And they were there to see God and be in His presence. So let's fast forward to today. Mega churches with rock bands, with light shows, with coffee shops, a laid-back approach to church with food and coffee served to the congregation during the service. During the service. Shorts and t-shirts and seeker-friendly services which low-profile scripture so no one will be offended. People who come for entertainment and not to be in the presence, not to be in God's presence, and being open to what He wants to tell them because of all the distractions. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that God cares about what we wear. I think He cares whether we show up or not, and whether we understand that when we walk through a sanctuary, He's there to try to talk to each and every one of us. He's all about our hearts. He's all about the sanctity of us coming in here, leaving our junk at the door, and being here to praise Him, to worship Him, and to wait for Him to talk to all of us. And when that happens, and when we walk into the presence of God and we hear what He has for us, I guarantee you, His presence will strike in us amazement, fear, humbleness, and reverence. So today's sermon will speak to this as we review the experience of both Moses and Joshua, as they both had the privilege of being in the manifested presence of God. So I call this sermon Holy Ground, or Going Shoeless Before God. Now our scripture reading comes from Exodus 3, 1 through 7. By the way, I just want everybody grab a Bible and just raise it. If there's a pew Bible, just grab a pew Bible. Okay? Everybody grab a Bible? Okay. Now let's turn to Exodus 3. We're going to read verses 1 through 7. And Joshua then will be our second reading, which will be 5:13-15. For those who have a pew Bible, the passage we're going to read is in, on page 40 for Exodus and page 154 for Joshua. Pew Bible, page 40 for Exodus, 154 for Joshua. And before we start, I want you to turn to your neighbor and in a very small voice say, God is present with us today. God is present with us today. Okay. Exodus chapter 3, verses 1 through 7. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the far side of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, I will go over and see this strange sight, why the bush does not burn up. When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, Here I am. Do not come any closer, God said. Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. Then he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. At this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. The Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I've heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering. Now let's turn to Joshua, chapter 5, 13 through 15. Now, when Joshua was near Jericho, he looked up and saw a man standing in front of him with a drawn sword in his hand. Joshua went up to him and asked, Are you for us or for our enemy? Neither, he replied, but as commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come. Then Joshua fell face down to the ground in reverence and asked him, What message does my Lord have for this servant? The commander of the Lord's army replied, Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy. And Joshua did so. Let us pray. Dear Lord, it's such an awesome feeling to know that we can come directly to you. That if we want, because of the Holy Spirit within us, Lord, we can communicate with you with no obstacles. That we can be in your presence in such a glorious way that amazes us, gets us scared sometimes, makes us reverent, and certainly makes us humble. Today, Lord, we call upon your presence. We call upon that special anointing that opens our ears and opens our hearts to hear what you have to say to your people. Lord, we know you are the deliverer. And there we come in with so many things that we need delivered from. Help us, Lord, to cry out to you because our distress is your distress. So with that, Lord, we open ourselves to you and to your word and to your teaching. And we pray this in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, and all God's people said, Amen. You know, my experience with the Catholic Church and other churches, I want to say this, I do many times, if not every time, feel the Holy Spirit come down upon us. Holy Spirit that's within us and come and speak to me and through me. Those things shouldn't be taken lightly. It's an amazing thing that we all here have access to God through His Son, Jesus. And there are a few points that I want to bring up about standing in the presence of God, that the standing in the presence of God should do to us. So let's go down the list. Number one, standing in the presence of God should make us amazed and fearful. It was 40 years since Moses left, that since Moses had killed the Egyptians and fled the land of Egypt to Midian. Some say he might have been 80 years old at this time, and probably in semi-retirement, just tending sheep, going about his own business. But up appeared a burning bush in the desert. And when Moses saw this, what was he? When he saw this, what was he? He was amazed. He was amazed. It's a burning bush. It doesn't go out. He saw from far off. It came close. Bushes usually go poof and they're gone. And Moses saw this burning bush and he was amazed. Would you ladies be amazed if you saw a burning bush? You would, wouldn't you? Your eyeballs get real big and you go, oh, what is this? And so it was with Moses going, oh, what is this? Because he was truly amazed. And when he got closer, he heard the Lord's voice speak to him. And he defined himself. So first you see a burning bush and you go, oh, and then you have the bush, out of the bush, a voice come and says, I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. What do you think that would mean to Moses? Wow, that's my God! That's my God in a burning bush talking to me. Because that's my God. My God is the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. That's my God. And after he defined himself, what did Moses do next? He trembled. He was actually in the presence of God. Would that make you tremble if you were in the presence of God, ladies? Wouldn't it? Wouldn't it? You go, oh, what is this? What's God going to tell me? So he was amazed and he was fearful. And why would he be fearful? Well, if you're in a big light like that, what does it do to you? It exposes us. It exposes us. The other fear is he had access to the presence of God. And he was in awe. Many times the Old Testament defines fear not as being afraid, but fear as being in awe. Being in awe of who he is, being in awe, being in the presence of the Creator, who's all-powerful and all-knowing and all-present and all-God. Well, how would that make you feel if you were in the presence of God like that? There you go. I love it. Do that again. Oh, thank you. You're great. I love this. So he was both amazed and fearful. So if we stand in the presence of God and God is talking to us, it makes us amazed and fearful because we have access to God's presence. Number two, it makes us humble. When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, Moses, Moses, and Moses said, here I am. Do not come closer, God said. Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. And then, what I don't show in the slide, and then he hid his face. Ladies, would it make you humble if God picked you to talk to? Would you go, oh, not me? I don't deserve that. Wouldn't you say that? That's exactly what was going on in Moses' mind. God's presence is such an enormous thing that Moses tried to get closer to him and God told him, stop! Stop and take off your sandals. It was not unusual at that time that when somebody from Israel would walk into a holy place, the first thing they would do is take off their sandals. Excuse my holy feet. Or I should say holy socks. Excuse my holy socks. And so, he's before the presence of God, and he's probably humbled. Humbled that God was going to speak to him. One commentary said that in the desert, God had Moses right where he wanted him. Totally broken, humbled, and open. Because he was once royalty in Egypt. And then for another 40 years to this point, probably at age 80, he was chasing sheep in the wilderness. And he would be humbled, really humbled, to know that God sought him out and chose him to talk personally to him and be in his presence. Maybe God had been trying to communicate with Moses all along. We don't know. Maybe it's only at a burning bush in a wilderness got his attention. You ever feel that happens to us? Raise your hand. Come on. That he's been talking to us. It's only when he hits us over the head with a hammer or takes us out in the wilderness or we're in the dark places do we actually listen to him. Yeah. And that's what was happening here. He was in a dark place. He was in semi-retirement. He's tending his sheep. He's probably weary. And God says, over here, over here. Put a burning bush in front of him. Pastor Christopher Higgins said this, "It takes deserts in our lives sometimes to wake us up to our need for God, doesn't it? And if God wants to get your attention, if he wants to wake you up to reality, if he wants you to quit whatever destructive path you're on, any old bush will do." Isn't that a great quote? Any old bush will do. Any old bush would do. And why would God want us to take off our shoes? Why in his presence, what's the significance of taking off shoes? You know, you're in a Upper Spring. It's snowy and muddy, and you come into somebody's house, and what do? Take off our shoes. I love it. But Jerry's my hero. He not only takes off his shoes, he has his slippers with him when he comes. I love that. Because he's prepared. So what's on our shoes then? Mud, gunk, sometimes chewing gum. For a farmer, it might be other stuff. God wants us to be humble that we don't take that junk from life and bring it into his presence. Does that make sense? The junk of life. The ungodliness of how we live. The lack of forgiveness. Envy, hate, all those things. He doesn't want that in his presence. Doesn't want that in his presence. J.S. Wells has said that one of the greatest dangers that theologians face is that we put a pipe in our mouths and our feet on the mantelpiece and we sit down in an armchair to discuss theories of the atonement instead of bowing down before the wounds of Jesus. That we scurry around the burning bush taking photographs from suitable angles instead of taking our shoes off our feet to the place we're on. We stand as holy ground. We can talk theology. We can assume, we can smoke our pipes and talk about predestination or election. But we don't take the time to get on our knees in his presence and ask God to reveal to us. Ask God to reveal to us what he wants for our lives and how he wants to use us and mold us and make us. Item 3. Standing in God's presence should make us reverent. what's reverent should make us walk into a place where we revere God. We praise and we worship Him. We revere Him to know that He is our deliverer. Listen again to what Joshua 5:13 through 15 says. Joshua looked up and saw a man standing in front of him with a drawn sword in his hand. Joshua went up to him and asked, "Are you for us or for our enemies?" "Neither," he replied, "but as commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come." Then Joshua fell face down on the ground in reverence and asked him, "What message does my Lord have for this servant?" And the commander of the Lord's army replied, "Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy." And Joshua did so. Here's a story of Joshua, who was given the right and the privilege and the honor to lead the people of Israel in the promised land. That's what he was given. And a man appeared, a messenger of God, who was a commander of the Lord's army. Some believe that it might have been Gabriel or Michael. Others believe it could have been Jesus Christ himself, because it said a man came, which is a shadow or symbolic of the man coming in the form of Jesus Christ to save us. And Joshua became reverent and he fell down before the man waiting for a message from God. Isn't it interesting? He said, "Are you for me or the enemy?" And the Lord of God's army says, "Neither." He's probably saying, "Neither, because I fight for God. And this is a battle that God wants to win, and I will fight this battle, not for any man, but for the God that I serve." Isn't that something? That's something. And once again, as with Moses, Joshua was asked to take off his sandals to the place he was standing. Once again, was holy ground in the presence of the Lord. What went on before this? Joshua was scared to death. That's why in Joshua 1 and 2, God keeps on saying, "Be strong and be courageous, for I'm going to give you this land." He was weak. He was probably weak at heart. And now he sees this commander of God's army ready to help for God's purposes. Isn't that great? For God's purposes. And Joshua knew this, and he recognized that he then was in the presence of God. And he also knew that being in the presence of God was an honor. And he also knew that the presence of God was encouragement for him. He knew that the presence of God was going to deliver the enemy into Joshua's hands. What did he do? What did he do to come into God's presence all the time for all these battles? Well, he studied the scripture. He didn't sway from it to the left, to the right. He did not take his eyes off of it. His shoes were off his feet. And he was before God in prayer, and before God doing things the right way. Do you know that Joshua only lost one battle? Do you know what battle that is? Ai. And why did he lose that battle? Someone kept their shoes on. Someone kept their shoes on and with greed and lust stole the booty, which God told them not to do. It was the only battle they lost because somebody came before God in His presence trying to win that battle for them and came in with their shoes on, mud and all. Mud and all. This story can also be our story in our weakest time of spiritual battle. God will make Himself real to us and deliver us against the enemy. And when we see Jesus in the midst through the Holy Spirit, it's certainly His time to take our shoes off and submit to His victory, the victory He won at the Christ. At the cross, I'm sorry. The victory He won at the cross. Submit to that with reverence. Time to fall on our face to an Almighty God who's the only one who can rescue us from the slavery of sin through the blood of His Son. If that is not humbling, then nothing is. If that doesn't make us drop to our knees in reverence to an almighty God, then nothing will. Number four, being in the presence of God should make us take off our shoes. In the case of both Joshua and Moses, they were both designated as leaders by God to deliver God's people. How much did Moses want to go to battle? How much did Moses want to be a spokesperson for God? Try my brother Aaron. He'll talk for me. Try my brother Aaron. Was Joshua always brave? Or did he have this feeling of wanting to run instead of fight? In both cases, the battle was the Lord's, which he won easily. He delivered his people from Egypt. And Joshua led his people, God's people, into the promised land. Isaiah 63:9 says this. In all their distress, he too was distressed, and the angel of his presence saved them. In his love and mercy, he redeemed them. He lifted them up and carried them all the days of old. What does that tell you about God if we're distressed? What does that tell you about God when we're distressed? He's distressed too. And he sends Christ to save us. Not just now, but in final judgment. And get this, in his love and mercy, he redeemed them. We have a wonderful God that continually redeems us. We get in trouble and he comes in with a ticket. Say, okay, here, I paid this. I'm taking this person with me. He redeems us. He redeems us. And he lifts us up. He lifts us up. Isn't it funny that when we go before God, we're in amazement and reverence, I can just see him lifting up our chin and say, your distress is my distress. It's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. He saved us. Our God saw our distress. He saw the distress of Israel. He saw he led them into the promise. He knows our hurts. He knows our concerns. He delivered us from all those. And the ultimate delivery again is when he sent his son, Jesus, to walk on this earth to demonstrate God's love, to die on that cross, to redeem us from sin, to carry us to eternal life. That has to warrant an amen. Amen. Just that whole cross story, which is true, should make us look at God in amazement, in fear and awe, in reverence, and should solicit us to take our shoes off, which are filthy and smelly and revulsive from living an unholy life, that we lay those shoes outside of his presence. And do you know what? You don't have to be in a sanctuary to be in holy ground or on holy ground. Moses wasn't in a sanctuary, and I'm sure Joshua isn't. And every place that we walk has to be our holy ground because we walk to be his deliverer, to speak about him delivering us and delivering those around us. Gordon McDonald shared about a time when he and his daughter Christy attended the New Year's Eve celebration at the University Urban Missionary Convention in 1976. The night closed with a communion service. After the benediction, 17,000 students began to head for the arena portals and their buses for the trips back home. Someone in the crowd, not a song leader, but a worshiper, began the song, "Sing Hallelujah to the Lord." It is one where the men sing a line and then the ladies echo back. Some 17,000 people stopped in their tracks and sang. They sang it over and over and over again without a song leader or musician. No one wanted to leave from the place that became holy ground. No one wanted to leave the sacred hour. No one wanted to leave the sacred hour to memories. They just kept singing and singing and singing. It was after some time of singing into the night when Christy, who was only 9 years old at the time, grabbed her daddy's hand and spoke softly. "Daddy, this is what heaven is going to be like." We're all now in God's presence. I can feel His presence. He's saying to us, no more playing games, no more dirty shoes, no more dirty lies. I'm here to deliver you and those around you. Why do we try to domesticate church? Why do we tone it down? Why do we make it casual? When it's a place where the manifested presence of God resides. Why is it that we don't tell the full truth about God because we're afraid to offend some? And why do we bring our dirty shoes in His presence with unholy actions, distractions, and lack of attention? Someone wrote, "For a Christian, life is not divided into the secular and the sacred. To him, all ground is sacred ground. Every bush, a burning bush, and every place, a temple of worship." Don't you love that? That we can be in the presence of God wherever we walk. I've seen people like that. I could see them in their countenance. I can see that in their smile. I can see that in their heart. Have any of you seen people living in the presence of God 24/7? Yeah. And we can do that too. We can do that too. In January 1995, according to an article written by Gary Thomas, J. Robert Ashcroft had fewer than 48 hours to live. But he was holding on to life, hoping to see his son, John Ashcroft, sworn into the U.S. Senate the following day. John Ashcroft, as we all know by now, is in the process of being confirmed as our next Attorney General. That tells you how old this story is. As family and friends gathered in Washington for a small reception, J. Robert Ashcroft asked his son to play the piano while everyone sang, "We Are Standing on Holy Ground." After the song, the frail old man spoke some powerful words. "John, I want you to know that even Washington can be holy ground. Wherever you hear the voice of God, that ground is sanctified. It's a place where God can call you to the highest and best. Whatever we are in our vocation, if Jesus is Lord of our lives, that place is a holy place of service for Him." And today, right here, we are standing in the presence of God. We're definitely on holy ground. So leave your shoes at the door and enter in so that we can hear from Him without any distractions. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I am certainly amazed and fearful and humbled and very reverent to know that we're talking to you right now. And through your Son, Jesus,
He's given us access to you to be in that place of holiness, to come before your throne. I ask, Lord, that it becomes a commonplace thing in all of our lives, that we can walk in your presence and be in our prayer closet and talk to you on a consistent basis. You tell us, Lord, to pray incessantly. I know that you want to talk to us. You want to reveal things to us, and you do want to deliver us. There are some people here that have never accepted Christ, never accepted or even thought that they could be in the presence of God. Some who have never stepped forward to say, "Dear Lord, I repent of my past. I take my shoes off before you, and I commit myself to you as my Lord and Savior." That's a prayer. We call that the salvation prayer. I call it the heart prayer. I call it the heart change prayer. It's not haphazard. It's a prayer of letting God into your life and being there in His presence. If anybody here has never accepted Christ, that's a prayer I ask for you, to say, "God, I want to be in your presence. I got to leave my shoes behind me. I repent of the dirt that's on them. And I come to you, Lord, just asking, Lord, that you would deliver me, that I can come before you, and that eventually you'll make me deliver somebody else." If anybody here said that prayer for the very first time, I'd like to know, and I'd like to pray for you. I just ask you, put your hand up and right back down. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you accepted Christ today, I'd like to know. And I just ask you to put your hand up and right back down. Hand up. Thank you. Anybody else? Hand up and right back down. Lord, we love you so much. I know most of us want to see a burning bush every day instead of that still small voice in the wilderness. Lord, deliver us from those things that pull us down. Help us to be every bit the person that you want us to be. Help us, Lord, to stand tall and have you win the battle as you did with Moses and Joshua. And I pray this in Jesus' name, my personal Savior. Amen.